Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Tamaris.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is Go Touch Grass, the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the weekend internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can literally do anything else with your time.
And if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we've got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with tons more content weekly, access to our Discord community, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. Right now on the Patreon, we have a deep dive, a search history slash recap on mom talk, mm-hmm. and all the Mormon mom drama. Mm-hmm. We talk about secret lives of Mormon wives. And if you're not subscribed to the Patreon, you can actually just individually buy episodes now.
Yeah, I did it. So, I made all figure that the out. Episodes. So for just a few bucks, you can just, like, I like them, but I don't love them.
I do want to hear about mom talk.
And I want to hear about our Azalea Banks episode.
People
downloaded that one.
People are buying. You can get the whole catalog. If you want to test, whatever. Mm-hmm. Technically, we charge $3.50, but then Patreon charges $1.50. So it's going to put you back $5.
Yeah.
But we put our research chats on for these episodes.
We put our whole foot in this, guys.
We put our whole foot in
Give
it.
Us
so
money.
It's worth the $5.
We're dying.
Give us money.
I'm fucking life. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating.
Yes.
And review. We love your reviews.
We do.
We need more of them.
We always need more.
But really, the best review you can give us is to tell your friends, tag us in a little story. We'll repost it. You know we're online.
You know we're online. You know we're seeing. You know we're responding to our DMs.
Conceit of the show. Is that
it's going to be the reason why we're all here.
And speaking of reviews, I really quickly want to say that someone DM'd me. Someone DM'd us and was, or DM'd me and was like, oh my God, your podcast got a really cute review on Reddit. And then I was like, oh my God. And I clicked, they sent me the thing. And it was like, somebody goes like, it's like in r/podcast. Hey, I have severe ADHD. Does anyone have any recommendations for podcasts?
Absolutely.
That would be good for me.
And someone said, go touch grass.
Oh my God, go touch grass. They're totally good for you. Let's
go. And representation matters.
And you know what? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
I we might not finish all of our sentences,
but
we're out here.
We're out here.
We're moving through topics at a rapid pace for the ADHD mind.
Yeah, the non-divergent, the normal mind won't compete.
Yeah.
Compute.
See, here we go. And compute. Here we go again. We're moving. We're talking so fast we can't even get our words out.
My brain is working so fast.
Speaking
of people who are fast.
Who are fast, whose brain is working at a rapid pace. Our guest, guys, such a friend of the pod, a real life friend, in fact. He's a comedian, a content creator, non-derogatory.
Yeah, parentheses, non-derogatory.
A pop culture commentator and the host of Virtual Reality on Page 6. You've probably seen his face and eyes as a cup of coffee venting about any of the happenings of the day. Please give it up for Danny Murphy.
Hi, guys. I'm very excited to be here with you.
Wow. We're excited to have you.
Also, might I say, the Patreon prize is like half the price of this Just Fine matcha latte I got. Wow. So like, wow, it's really worth it. And Mom Talk, wow, I want your guys' thoughts on it. So I'm going to buy it after this.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, there was much to be said.
I know we can't get into it because it's on the thing, but yeah. I'm sure y'all get into it. Okay, yeah.
We get into it, but I just say, you know, should a white girl in Utah have a brand called Baby Mama? Probably not.
Honestly, should a white girl in Utah, end of sentence.
Should a white girl in Utah? Should a white girl in Utah, dot, dot, dot. Danny, one of your most popular video series is called Venti Vents.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you come up with that concept? I mean, I feel like it's only something that someone sick with ADHD can come up with.
There is tinges of that. There is moments of that where I...
Tell us what it is. How'd you come up with it? Everything about Venti Vents.
Because I do love my coffee. Mm-hmm. So I'm usually always having a coffee.
Not Mormon.
I know. I couldn't do it.
Everything else, long underwear, fine. Celibacy, fine. Can I tell you
something? What? Long underwear and celibacy. Like, yeah. Okay. Like, not the worst that could happen. Like, mm-hmm. I'm lazy. That sounds nice, but the coffee was rough. And like, I think half of their men are potentially in the closet. Like, I would vibe with them.
I would
swing with them.
Yeah.
But I know I do
like... Would you soft swing or hard swing?
I think you gotta hard it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to... I don't know. I feel like I would accidentally go hard from soft.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean?
They're going from hard, soft to hard.
I don't know how restrictive the underwear is. That would be the driving factor of how my swing... I think my underwear swing loose. Would be.
It's like loose. It's kind of loose. It's like pantaloons. Johns, yeah.
Right? That sounds nice.
But in the summer... See, I don't know. That's what I feel about, like, when I see, like, Hasidic Jewish people, like, with the suits, I'm like, listen, winter, you're killing it.
Yeah.
Because they have the hat.
The big hat.
Swag. Yeah. Swag, bitch. And they have the fur and on the shit. But then the summer, they're going through it. And I'm like, rough. See, that's when you lose me.
It's rough.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't really do that. But
everything else. Everything, except for the coffee, because you love coffee.
And I kind of want to try, because they opened up in Rock Center one of the...
Soda Center.
Yes.
I told Elise. It's Rock Center and South Street Seaport.
Oh, I really want
a dirty soda, please.
Please.
Soda with a bunch of shit in it.
I think it's going to change my life.
Okay. Well, talk to us about Venti Vents.
The reason I'm having a matcha now is because I've had 2.5 coffees already.
Oh, wow.
So I thought this would...
Slow it down. Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm in East Village. I'm like, let me get a matcha. Let me be fun. The guy wanted me dead. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's very Bushwick.
It's very, yeah. It's the place. I'm like, it's about like a cat. I don't know what's happening. But I would just drink a lot of coffee, and a lot of things in life would set me off. Nothing ever serious, because I feel like that's the thing where you just have to sit and be like, the world is ending. Mm-hmm. But I would just really need to share when I would be annoyed, because I felt like, after I said it, I was like, okay, it's out in the world now. It's not my problem. Like, if someone was, like, too close on the subway, or, like, making out on the subway. Or something like that. Or, like, that's holding hands while walking downstairs.
That's tough.
Having me sit in not a nice seat, like, in a restaurant. I have to change
and
tables.
And then you would go, you'd superimpose your face and eyes onto a cup, and you'd vent about it.
And that really kicked off in the pandemic when I hated so much how I looked, but felt like I had to do something. Because I was, like, I couldn't get my hair cut. I forgot how to shave. It was like really like the Revenant style. I forgot my will to live. Oh, so I just didn't shave.
That was the thing I forgot.
Oh, this is easy. And I didn't want to TikTok dance. So then that just started happening.
Yeah. That was you know what? That is so smart, because we really shifted to mostly front facing video content at a time where we were not in a front-facing energy.
I feel like it happened before the pandemic. Before the pandemic,
but then
facing,
like, and then TikTok truly took off, and then people were doing lives and all of this stuff. And I was like, I'm not live ready at this point. I look like hell. So it's like that's a good workaround. And again, I'm not going to be dancing.
I could not.
I did a dance. One where it was like the one with your whole family. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But my roommate had abandoned me. So I was like alone in my apartment for like the first 2 months of the pandemic. So I did like a dance challenge. But then I used the filter where you get duplicated.
That's fun.
I was not
bonding with yourself.
I was mentally ill.
You and everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, Danny, here's my question for you. So we talked a little bit about your show, Virtual Reality.
Yes.
We were talking a little bit before you came on about how you just interviewed Lisa Barlow.
Yeah, speaking of Utah icons.
You get to speak. Yeah, speaking of Utah woman.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's my question for you. Mm.
We were talking on the Mom Talk episode about kind of the relationship between being a reality star and social media. Where do you see like those two things combining? Because the point that Millie made that I thought was interesting about the Secret Lives, I keep seeing Secret Wives of Mormon
teenager.
Lives.
Yes, it's hard.
Secret Lives of a Mormon Teenager. Yeah. Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is that they were influencers first and then became reality stars, where usually we get reality stars who become influencers. Mm-hmm. So what are you seeing on the ground floor? You
know, it's funny. They've tried to do shows where it's influencers that are becoming reality stars, and it falls really flat, really fast. Mm-hmm. I feel one of the prime examples of it that everyone kind of forgot about was like the Real Friends of WeHo, which was like canceled before it came out. I know. Where you're just kind of like, oh, these are people complaining about like influencer woes in ways we didn't care. But what I loved about the Mom Talk girls, and I think why it worked, is like they treat influencing like they're like Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
Where they're like, we are a unit. Like they were a group. The pressure.
Will Mom Talk survive this?
Yeah. Like the Dallas Cowboys. Like every, there was so much pressure on it.
Oh yeah. Like the DC, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Like they would have horrific fights with everyone, reveal so many things. Like, all right, guys, let's just do this together. And then like shimmy in a circle. Yeah. And that's how they feed their family. Like it's impeccable. It's breathtaking. So I hope they find more people like that to have happen. But then I feel it's always like a merging and a blending. And it's funny because there's a lot of influencers that I feel try to go into reality TV and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because they're so used to the curation of their life. And we want the people who are off the rails on my, I want the people that are off the rails on my television.
Yeah. Because I think like for you to be successful on TikTok, just to speak to your point, you have to, again, be really good at editing and curating your life. But for you to be successful on reality TV, you have to let it go and, like, be vulnerable and say things, like, embarrassing things that might make you look stupid and whatever. And, yeah, like, I could see those things, like, being antithetical and not working.
Because that's the thing. You need to have the reality stars be comfortable with, after an episode airs, like, 1,500 comments in their comment section hating them, and they just post like a video of them being like at the pool and like not having the like having the disconnect there.
Yeah.
Well, that was so fun with the Jennifer Affleck of it all. Oh. But just in general, like they're doing like funny video dancing to like the like Cotton Eye Joe, and everyone's like, you need to leave your husband. I know my husband. And blah,
you're
blah.
Not related you're to not, Ben Affleck. Yeah, we googled it. Like, whatever, it's
like, oh my God. And they're like, and they keep doing it, like whatever. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you kind of need that.
I also feel like the desire for reality show people to become influencers has put the dating reality show world into like a tailspin. Like The Bachelor, I feel like, has been off for a while now, and it's because everybody's just going on to become an influencer. All of these, I feel like with dating reality shows now, we pretty much get one good season of every single one, because the first season you're getting people who are pure in for the love of the game. I mean, they can imagine that they'll become influencers, but it's once the show pops off, pretty much everyone who's going on, their ulterior motive is to be an influencer.
Yeah, like to sell diet pills for the rest of your life with the coupon code. I guess I would say the counter to that is any queer show, like any queer dating show, but especially like the lesbian version of Ultimatum was so, because in any other situation, you're like, who can really fall in love in two weeks?
That's, yeah.
And then it was like, and they're like, are you here for the right reasons? No, they are saying I love you after 1 week.
And they mean it.
And they mean it.
Yes, that
and
is
they're
true.
Like, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, this is good because they're all in.
Yeah.
They're
I'll say the straight in. Reality straight dating reality shows dating are shows. In crisis.
Well, yeah, because it's like everybody's trying to be, everyone's trying to like pop off in their own way.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I guess that when it becomes a means to an end, and it's the same thing too of like talentless, I hate to say talentless influencers because influencing is a job. Like content creation is a job. It's really difficult, whatever. But when the basis and the center of your content is just that you're a creator and not any kind of angle, not any kind of like comedy or like, you know what I mean? Or like selling cookbooks or nothing, you know?
Or you're not even really building it off your own personality from scratch. Just, it's like, I went on The Bachelor and now I'm an influencer because you saw me on The Bachelor.
And then there's no like through line because then they'll just promote any, like they don't have a niche or anything that makes you care.
You don't trust them.
I will say, Love is Blind is casting in Washington, D.C. right now. They announced the cast, and I fear that this will be the darkest group of people.
I watched the screeners for it because I interviewed some of them, and it is crap.
Dark? Yeah, it sent a chill down my spine. Should I watch it? Should we watch?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Love is Blind person. Mm. So I am not, like, dating shows just don't really respond to me.
Yeah, it's tough.
But there's some chaos in it. There's two, I love it. There's a couple in particular that I'm like, this is rough.
Because you're getting a very small subsect of people in DC who don't have a job that would be ruined if they went on reality TV. So you're getting some real weirdos who also live in DC. So what's going on?
Where are we then?
So you don't work for the government because you're here.
Yeah.
So why are you in DC and for what? What are you doing? And that's why I'm afeared.
Well, the thing with Love is Blind is like not my favorite show either, but it does feel like I feel like I'm okay with not tuning into The Bachelor, but I feel like with Love is Blind, everyone talks about it so much and there's so many memes that you do feel you're missing out on something by not consuming it.
It's a hard thing because this is the first time I'm like, there's four episodes of them just talking to a wall. I'm like, this is painful. Yeah.
Somebody said that like that Love is Blind, like it should be blind for the audience too. Like that would be good so that we're like,
oh, it's everyone doing the venti vents face.
I love it.
We just see
that. Honestly, would adore that because that's
true.
I would
watch the shit out of that.
Because then I would just start brainstorming like, oh, that person is hot. I want to pick it. Then you see him and you're like,
well,
is it time?
It's time for the discourse, guys. It's time for the discourse. So today's, you know, the discourse is where we take one big subject that everyone's talking about on the internet and we dive deep into it. Mm-hmm. And today's discourse takes us to the sticky, icky world of straight cis male podcasters.
Oh, no.
Parentheses, derogatory.
Parentheses, not the ones that are our friends.
No. Straight cis male podcasters. Do we have friends that are straight cis male? I guess
we
the curators.
Do.
Yeah, we do.
We certainly do.
Well, anyway, our main subjects are based across the pond. And it's a podcast called, it's spelled SHXTNGIGS, but it's Shits and Gigs.
Okay, I was like, I you lost me.
I was really...
Because they don't want to get... I mean, it's smart. They don't want to get whatever, but it's the Shits and Gigs podcast.
Got it. The ADHD mind. Yeah. As soon as you said X, I was out of there. I was like,
I was so bad at a spelling bee when I was younger, so it really took me back to that.
So Shits and Gigs is an incredibly popular podcast. Mm-hmm.
Like Go Touch Grass.
Yeah, just like Go Touch Grass. Just like
Go Touch Grass.
GTX.
Well, they have 30,000 patrons, paid patrons, and we have...
We're on the
road to 30,000.
Road to 30,000
patrons. Oh, I like that. Road to 30,000. So it's hosted by Fuha Dawoodi and James Duncan. James Duncan has 371,000 Instagram followers, and Fuhad has 372,000 Instagram followers. Oh. For racial context, because it's important to note that James Duncan is mixed race. He's a lighter-skinned black man, and Fuhad is Nigerian from the UK and is darker skin. Their podcast has 2.5 million followers on Instagram.
Okay. Road to 2.5 million.
Their YouTube, their YouTube has 1.9 million subscribers. Mm-hmm. And their TikTok has 8.3 million subscribers. Our followers. So again, they're extremely popular and they've been kind of compared to the UK version of Desus and Meryl.
Okay.
So this is like a kind of a blurb from them. So they're popularized for their viral X and Twitter Hall of Fame segments. The pair shared their unfiltered opinions on sex, relationships, and popular culture. Award-winning podcast Shits and Gigs is a destination for the culturally relevant commentary. Shits and Gigs has rapidly risen to become one of the most prominent podcasts globally, with content and episodes regularly generating millions of views in the space of hours. Best known for their infectious laughs, comical debates, and honest opinions on UK pop culture. Mm-hmm. Hosts James and Fuhad consistently generate millions of views online in the space of hours. So it just seems like they're just dudes, and they have a bit of a bromance, and
they've got great chat. They've got great banter.
Some people have called them sweet and endearing, but yeah, again, itself is like unfiltered, and this is a quote they said could care less about sensitivity. So, any thoughts on shits and gigs?
That's always a red flag when it's like. There are certain code words for, like, we're going to say something fucked up and could care less about sensitivities.
Yeah. I feel like, and then,
red,
like,
flag to me.
Because it's that and also, like, real and authentic. When people are like, it's just real talk and it's authentic to me. And I feel like people relate. And I was like, I don't know who it is.
I just tell it like it is.
Just tell it like it is another one. Yeah. No filter.
Yeah.
These are red flags that you usually mean, like, they will entertain like vaccine conspiracies at minimum.
Yeah. Oh, at the, and that's a good day.
Yeah,
and that's a good day.
That's the least problematic day.
Okay, just don't breathe there. I mean, you're good. Yeah.
So another person in this story is Andrew Schultz. So Andrew Schultz is a stand-up. Mm-hmm. He has 4 million followers on Instagram. He's
that's
a comedian.
That's my cis straight friend. Yeah.
He's a comedian, actor, and podcaster. In addition to his stand-up, he's known for his work on MTV2's Guy Code and its two spin-offs. He has the Flagrant podcast with Akash Singh and the Brilliant Idiots podcast, which he hosts with Charlamagne. His first Netflix special is Schultz Saves America and premiered in 2020. This is the tagline from Flagrant. Flagrant is a comedy podcast that delivers unfiltered, unapologetic, unruly hot takes directly to your dome piece. And he hosted it with Akash Singh. It's funny when you look up Flagrant, the podcast, related podcasts are The Joe Rogan Show, Brilliant Idiots, and The Tim Dillon Show, if you're looking for a vibe check.
Okay.
It's important to note that Andrew Schultz has a documented history of being a racist and a misogynist in many, many platforms, in many, many ways. I'm not even going to waste my time pulling up receipts. You can look it up. Personally, for
he's
me,
he's being unfiltered, Millie.
He's really unfiltered, I guess.
For your dome piece.
For your dome
piece.
I'm
like, are they giving each other head? I'm like confused.
Yeah, I guess. And I just have to say, because this podcast is our opinion, I personally find Andrew Schultz stand up hacky. And not
unfiltered.
For me.
Unfiltered.
But whatever. Go off. And I guess for me, I guess my question is, like, what's up with men having to, like, say that they're unfiltered and unruly, like, in their, like, podcasting? So I'm like, isn't that kind of given? Like, is there ever a situation where men aren't, like, when men have to
that's
be filtered? I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just like, why is everyone like, we tell it like, I don't know. I'm just like.
I think because they all think they are the only people that tells it as is as them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where they think everyone else is holding, they're like, no, I'm the thought leader in all this.
Yeah.
Like, well, you're saying everything everyone else that you were just on the related episodes are saying.
Yeah, they are like, they think they are the true, like, arbiter of, like, it is.
It's like hero complex-ish.
Yeah.
And that they're saying something, you know, edgy and, like, original.
And that they're speaking, that it's more honest to talk about these topics without taking into account how you would make anyone else feel or the opinions of society or what is considered right or normal. Like, it again, it's a kind of a dog whistle type to be like, we're gonna say some fucked up stuff
fuck
on
your
here.
Feelings.
Fuck your feelings, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the controversy.
Oh, gosh.
So shits and gigs, again, they come to the US sometimes, you know. Again, they're based in the UK, but they come to the US sometimes, and kind of every time they come, they kind of have been on watch. They've been saying some stuff. A few months ago, Shits and Gigs came under fire because they visited Atlanta, and they said there are no baddies in Atlanta, which means there are
no
hot women at all in Atlanta.
I feel like Atlanta is like kind of a nexus of baddies.
Yes.
I mean, even I've only been there for a layover, but I've watched so many reality shows from it of so many hot people. So
yeah.
And like, I think it's so interesting that I say baddies, because I was telling, like, there's a difference between attractive people and bad bitches. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like there's a high maintenance, like, kind of in piece to being a bad bitch. And that's Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Atlanta is all about, you know, high maintenance, like doing your nails, doing your lashes, doing whatever. So it's like interesting. So they got on a lot of shit.
Yeah.
For that.
I feel like anywhere that has a Real Housewives franchise has baddies.
Yes.
Because again, they had to make Real Housewives of Potomac. They couldn't do D.C. because D.C. That's true. Have any
they tried it for a season.
They did.
And they just broke into the White House.
Yeah.
They were bad, not a baddie.
Yeah.
So again, whatever, right? So that was like one of the first things. Then over the summer, the Shits and Gigs did a U.S. tour.
Okay.
And they went on Andrew Schultz's podcast, Flagrant.
Mm. Okay.
And they were talking to Andrew Schultz about that TikTok trend, the black girlfriend effect.
Right.
Which is how we talked about it, like in passing, how usually people of different races, when they date black women, they start, you know, looking quote unquote better. They go to glow up. They have a fade.
Yeah.
And the reverse is happening to Travis Kelce. So where he
that
is looking,
mustache is wrong.
Where he is looking more and more like a racist police officer every day.
The bucket hat was an unfortunate choice at the U.S. Open.
Yeah. I would say not racist police, like racist mall cop, which is somehow worse.
Yeah, that's what he. A racist
the
mall
suspenders.
Cop.
Yeah. I don't know what was happening there.
Yeah.
And then both of them trying to like lip sync to Bad Bunny before they were like, I don't know.
I mean, anyway.
They seem like they're very happy, but the fashion.
So that's what the black girlfriend effect. So they're talking to Andrew Schultz about it. And
I'm sure he's an expert at the field.
Yeah, expert at the field. So let's see. Okay. Let's watch the clip of them talking to Andrew Schultz.
What is the black girlfriend effect?
This you don't know about
glow up the other culture.
Yeah, so you'll see a guy who's had a black girlfriend, all of a sudden he's got buzz cut, like clean shape up.
Glows up, bro.
Yeah, I like that.
They shave their hair because they start losing it. Because they're so stressed being around this black girl complaining about shit all the fucking time. That's why they got to shave their hair.
Nah, bro. White guys with black girlfriends, they
grow a beard because there's more cushion when they get slapped the fuck out of.
That's hilarious.
I think the black girlfriend effect, it might be a protective instinct, bro.
You think?
Protective. Yeah.
Do you guys, have you ever had black girlfriends?
Yeah.
Have you ever had white girls?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. What's your favorite?
We love them all.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
We love them all.
Yeah. That means white.
Who is that means white.
Hey, let me get the U.S. translation.
Kendrick fans, get him!
We love them all.
That's royal English.
Okay, thoughts?
Wait, first, because you do a video on the podcast too, because I have to say the first thought is the split image when it started shaving the soap was really good.
Yeah, just so
I lost focus of the clip for 2 seconds, but I got back. But it was really that part got me.
Just so everyone knows, in order to play the 1 minute clip, we did watch a version where it was like the clip on one side and then like someone making soap on the other side. And
they were
doing
a lot of stuff.
I want them to be flagrant or whatever the fuck this is.
Again, ADHD podcast representation.
So what about the thoughts?
We're back.
Said, I don't know. I mean, I get a major ick when... Well, first of all, I thought it was weird when he was like, have you guys had black girlfriends? Have you guys had white girlfriends? And he was like, whoa.
No, he was...
Like, he seemed like...
Because he was like, you've had black girlfriends? You've had white girlfriends? And when they said yes to both, he was like, whoa.
Whoa. Like, as if it's crazy to have dated both black and white people. And that's a... I mean, there were a lot of red flags, but to me, I was like, okay, that's a very weird reaction. And then also to be like, which one's your favorite? I mean, it's just like dehumanizing.
Also, for him to be saying that the beard was like a protective measure.
Yeah.
When the only thing I'm assuming his facial hair is protecting him from is people talking to him on the street because he looked fucking like shit.
Yeah, well.
Unfiltered hot take or whatever the fuck that.
Unfiltered.
Yeah, but that also is like, I'm curious, like, where is the train of thought even going where I feel he was in lieu of having a conversation just thinking, what can I say to rage? Like, I feel like that's just what his entire thought process is.
Well, it is particularly deranged to me to take something that is a trend that like, it's really designed to praise black women and be like, oh,
the TikToks of those are cute. Yeah.
To show, like, number one, these kind of cute, like, interracial relationships. And number two, to elevate the idea of the black girlfriend in a way that, like, you know, society hasn't always done. And he just immediately takes it and turns it into, like, something negative and stereotypical and shitty.
Yes. Yes. So, again, so let's go to the backlash of this person. Because, again, that part blew up. Everyone was fucking pissed. Many, many, many people online said that the jokes that Andrew said was, you know, played into the angry black woman trope of an overly emotional, aggressive personality, which is a stereotype that black women have to fight against every day. Jordan Berkeley, which is one of the fans, you know, this, she was interviewed by the BBC. It went, like, super viral. Yeah. Like, a lot of people were fucking pissed. And Jordan Berkeley says she was instantly disappointed when she saw the clip of James and Fuad on the podcast. She uploaded a reaction video. There's a ton of reaction videos on TikTok where she says, it's so exhausting to be a black woman. Black women are already fed up of being the butt of racism disguised as jokes. What really upset black women is that a white man can be in a room with black men and can be racist and there be no challenge. That's incredibly upsetting. I don't think anyone was expecting Fuad and James to fight Andrew Schultz on his podcast, but even the slightest of pushback would have gone a long way. They really reflect the fact that they just, like, laughed along with it. That really upset a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's, again, that angry black woman trope is always remixed and refashioned. It shapes a lot of how, like, black women kind of don't want to react to things because they don't want to be seen as a black woman, angry black woman.
Well, because that's almost like bait for it, because how do you react to that in, like, a not
upset way.
Yeah,
exactly. And then, like, oh, see, you are mad. And it's like, well, yeah, you just said a bunch of racist stuff.
Yeah. So a lot of people are like, exactly to your point, Danny, they're like, well, we have to defend ourselves. And it's like, feels like we're not allowed to.
For a conversation that they're not even in.
Yeah. So the Shits and Gig podcast, which honestly, it consists of a lot of black women, like predominantly black women, felt as though Duncan and Dawodi lacked support for black women, and that they even called out the duo for engaging in the conversation and not challenging stereotypes. Again, it went so viral. So many people weighed in, including actor Lakeith Stanfield, who is from Get Out from Atlanta.
Yeah, Lakeith is involved.
Yeah.
He's on TikTok?
No, so he posted on Instagram just a little image with words on it that says, if you talk down on black women, fuck your podcast. And it got 87,000 likes.
Oh, and shit. So he's like,
you know, again, I want to reiterate, it is important to note that this is not surprising behavior from Andrew Schultz. Mm-hmm. A lot of people pointed out, like, they're upset with James and Fuad for, like, laughing along. Not surprised by Andrew Schultz. And a lot of people made the point that Andrew Schultz is not dating a black woman, has never dated a black woman, has only dated white women, and is currently married to someone who can only be described as Lily White. Oh, it's a certain kind of white woman. But I will say, I will counteract that claim, because in this research for this podcast, we're doing it, it seems like he has dated one mixed race person.
Mm-hmm.
And she he did date one mixed race person, but she has accused Schultz of manipulation and abuse.
Awesome.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay, yeah. It's fine that you date whoever you want to date, but to have commentary about how black women will annoy the fuck out of you is so egregious.
Yeah.
And one TikToker, Anna X Zhao, looked deeper into the hairline joke Andrew Schultz made about, like, how, you know, black women will cause, like, men to, like, fades and stuff. And this TikToker was like, that was really off, because, like, white men don't really talk about their hairlines like that. It's not like as important, like, balding and all that stuff. It's like, hairline is not, like, a focus of on conversation. It's not as big a deal for white men as it is for black men. So she looked into it and found proof that actually Andrew literally took that joke from an episode of Flagrant 4 years earlier, in which he had two black men, Van Lathan from TMZ and Armin from ESPN. And they made a joke similar to that of, like, I guess someone had, like, a hairline thing, and then they're like, oh yeah, like you're black, you know, your wife did that or something. Mm-hmm. Oh. And like Andrew took that and ran with that and like kind of repeats that joke often.
Oh.
So again, a lot of people, they got a lot of pushback, a lot of controversy. Shits and Gigs lost a lot of followers, so they issued this apology. So we're going to watch
An apology video.
Yeah, we're going to watch the first few minutes.
I thought you were saying the first. I was like, oh, okay, how many do they have to do?
Well, it's 4 minutes long. I think we're good with just 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Right, before we get into today's episode, quick PSA, quick acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. So if you know, you know. If you don't, that's fine. But we just wanted to address something that's happening at the minute.
Yep.
This past weekend, there's been a couple of clips going around from when we did a session on the Flagrant podcast while we were on our US tour.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few jokes made that were incredibly inappropriate. One specifically pertaining to black women.
Yep.
And in the clip, Andrew was making a joke. I'm not even going to get into specifics. Making a racist joke.
Yeah.
And we were laughing at it. Mm-hmm. And to give, there's first of all, before we get into like specifics or anything like that, obviously there's just literally no excuse. There is no excuse.
Agreed.
And fight or flight is a real thing. Like it is, yeah. Fight or flight is a real thing, and it's so not easy to say, but when you're in those situations, you look at it through a lens of like, bro, if it was me, I promise you, I'll stand up, I'll kick them cameras down,
yeah.
I'll smack homeboy in the face,
yeah.
I'll say this, I'll do that. But when you're in there, you're in shock.
You're in shock, and all you want to do is move on.
Yeah, All you want to do is fucking move on. Just move on to the next thing. Yeah. Just move on to the next thing.
There's
and
so
like,
many
we had
times,
to say a few times, bro, just move on.
Just move just on. Move literally, on. So many different topics. You were like, move on, move on, move on.
And yeah.
It's not even like about pity laughs or anything, but we just wanted to
get out of that situation.
Get out of that situation, keep the ball rolling. And we thought it was going to be more of like a bros chat,
yeah,
but
it ended up being something that's like really, really hurt people that look to us for support and look to us to feel protected. And protected is the main thing that I wanted to discuss, is that it is our duty to protect you guys.
Facts.
And it is definitely not cool to be in that situation. And again, not be the ones to stand up and kick the cameras down.
So thoughts?
Facts.
Facts. It is so funny to say facts in the middle of like a heartfelt apology about how you didn't stand up against racism.
How you're supposed to protect people.
Yeah.
Facts. I mean, okay. There is part of me that understands the fight or flight comment in the sense of like in my one woman show, which you know, I talk about a time where I was hosting a Harry Potter sorting ceremony and a girl said the N-word, and I had to kind of deal with that in the moment. It was
on stage in front of like 1,000 people.
Yeah, and
she's a real J.K. Rowling fan. Okay,
yeah. I know. She knew the woman's name
was Jai Kai.
She knew something we didn't. And kind of the crux of the joke is that I realize I have to address it in the moment, but I like mealy mouth go through being like, hey, you guys, we shouldn't do that, whatever. And I've thought about that in the sense of like, I host an open mic. I've thought about like, oh my gosh, what would I do if someone came up here and like did something fucked up? And like, how do I address that? Do I stop them as it's happening? Mm-hmm. Do I say something after they're set? Like, these are things that I've thought about. And it is tough when you are like in the middle of a performance and something comes out of left field like that. But at the same time, the amount of giggling that occurred is it's a lot. And also, if it was what they were saying, which is like they were uncomfortable in the moment, you also, because it's a recorded podcast, they could have said afterwards, hey, please take that out. Mm-hmm. That wasn't cool and we don't want to be a part of that. Who knows if Andrew Schultz would acquiesce or whatever. But if something had really been a red flag to them and they were super uncomfortable, but they didn't know what to say in the moment and they didn't want to like mess up the vibe or whatever, there is another way out of that, which is to say, take this out.
Yeah, because I get fight or flight. Like when I'm in the back of an Uber, I'm agreeing to anything. You know what I mean? Like Uber driver until I get to my destination, I am... Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they physically have your life in their hands.
See, buckled. But in a conversation, well, a few things because they said that they thought it was just going to kind of be like a chat with bros. But I feel knowing, even I'm not that well-versed in Andrew Schultz, but I'm like knowing what I know about him, I know what that conversation would entail. So they would be a little bit more prepared of where he would probably want to take things.
Yeah.
So it's on, and especially because, like you said, they have such a big following. They're experts in the podcasting field, or maybe not experts, but they know what they're doing behind a mic. So they could, I would assume they would have had the wherewithal to guide a conversation and have that back and forth in the moment. Mm. And even if they didn't want to like ruin a vibe, but they wanted to be like, come off like funny enough, but also staying true to what they're saying in this apology video that they feel is true. I would assume they would have like the internal tools to have made that happen then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cause they also could have, when he said, have you had black girlfriends? They could have said, yeah. And I love dating black women. And like, I love the black girlfriends that I've had. Or, yeah. Like found ways to inject positive.
The yeah. pause they gave, because when he was like, who did you like more? They're like, we love yeah. all. They did it kind of as a, they made it a punchline type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So, I mean, what you guys hit is exactly what the backlash to the backlash wow. is, which is, again, one of our favorite parts of the discourse is, like, there's always backlash to the backlash. So, first, I do want to define, it's fight, flight, but then there's also freeze mm-hmm. and fawn. And those oh. are common responses to stress, trauma, or fear. Again, fight. It, when you fight, you know, it's a direct confrontation with the threat, often through assertiveness, aggressiveness, or a proactive attitude. Flight is an instinctive response to escape or avoid a threat by seeking physical or emotional distance. Freeze is a state of immobility or paralysis in response to a threat. And fawn is an attempt to please others to avoid conflict by accommodating them. Mm. And, you know, again, the definition, these responses are triggered by sympathetic nervous system, which releases hormones like adrenaline and cortisol when activated. This can cause a person's heart rate to increase and prepare for their body for movement. Why am I defining this? Because the backlash of the backlash is like, it wasn't fight or flight. You guys were fawning and yeah. freezing. Mm. And, you yeah. know, the comments of this video, of the apology video, was like, just watch a woman stitch this. And she said, y'all would rather be popular than powerful. Oh. And I see it. Somebody said, apologize as loudly as you laughed. And then somebody else noted that it's also a cultural phenomenon. And like, we have apology video, but then also there's the dissection of apology videos.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So that's what these comments are doing. Someone said that lack of eye contact is telling. Mm. Someone said, I don't accept your apology. It was a fun ride, though. And I think this was one of my favorite. First of all, there's literally no excuse for this. Proceeds to give a very long excuse. Like, that's what this video was, right?
And also, I wonder, too, because the way it was with that, it was even framed where they were like, all right, at the top, like, to get it out of the way, where they yeah. were like, it's like yeah. almost a to-do list. Like, I don't know if they posted it on their socials and everything like it, but it's always interesting, I feel like, when podcasters get in trouble, they'll do the apology just on their podcast, because then it's like, okay, only the people that listen, but like, they're not going to, like, they're not trying to take actual ownership of putting out into the universe that I did something bad that yeah. even someone who is a half follower of me will see.
Right, because if you do it as a separate piece entirely, then people will be commenting on that video. I mean, obviously a video
found its way out.
Clearly they released videos of the podcast. I don't know if they clipped this or what.
Yeah, they probably didn't clip that. Yeah.
yeah, but either way, it is. I clocked that too, that it's like, oh, they're including it in kind of the wider episode.
Yeah, but not as a thing,
which I do think is a thing we've seen when we were talking about the Brooke Schofield drama, that Tana. Yeah. I always forget her.
Mojo.
Yeah.
yeah.
I thought it was Monica.
It's always like, before we get into the pod, let's address the controversy. Well, yeah. And now the pod.
Well, then also, it's the other thing too. Then it's like, this used to be such a talk during like more the heyday of YouTube time, where it's like, well, you just monetized your apology video.
Yeah, they always
where
do
it's
that.
Like, okay, before we say sorry, yeah. use code oopsies.
Yeah, yeah right. Yeah. And it's like everyone's gonna hear that ad before the apology.
Yeah.
The
and then like you, no, I mean, because I'll randomly listen to a podcast. Like, the amount of podcast episodes I listened to that was like announcement or some news. I'm like, oh, so they know more people download it too.
Yeah.
So following their apology again, back to backlash to the backlash. Schultz reacted to the apology a lot. Like, he literally did split screen, would play their apology, stop it, and make commentary. Schultz said on his podcast that James and Fuhad, to your point, Elise, could have asked for the discussion to be edited out, but they chose not to. Schultz claimed that the pair's producer asked to cut out other parts of the pod they found inappropriate. They said, cut this out. But that joke with the black women, nothing. Andrew Schultz said the fight or flight thing wasn't really there afterwards. The comedian also accused James and Fuhad of only speaking out about it because of the backlash. There was no negative reaction after it came out, he said. And then, you know, in true Andrew Schultz form, he went on a whole diatribe about how you can't give people who cancel you power and you need to stand in what you're saying and who gives a fuck about cancel culture and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But, unfiltered, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, unfiltered.
Schultz Save America.
Yeah, Schultz Save America. But a lot of people, again, a lot of black women have said, like, you know, we know that Andrew Schultz is racist, and to a point, we give him credit because he stands in it.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, like, he's... Like,
he's and not trying also, to be someone he's not.
He's not trying to be someone he's not. And also, everyone's just kind of like, it's also your fault for, like, you thought it was going to be bro chat. Do you not consume or engage in anything that Schultz does? Like, if you would, you would have known that this is what happens, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to be, like, just a bro chat. That's not what he has ever done. So,
or like, that is bro chat to him. Like, I'm like, you all have different definitions of bro chat.
Exactly. Yeah. So, the podcast duo hasn't said anything about Schultz's comments, you know, or you know, anything
I feel
in
like
response.
If they try to, if I'm now like trying to get the grasp of like Schultz's mind, I'm assuming he would then just release all the
shit that he said.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't strike me as a guy who's like, well, it's not like swipe or no swiping. It's not like, well, they said no, so I can't use this file. I think you would just air all that.
Yeah, which... What's that, like, there's, like, that folksy saying that's, like, don't mud wrestle a pig because you both get dirty and the pig likes it.
Yeah.
So, whereas... Oh.
Well, don't be hard swinging. I don't know what's going on
Sorry. But, yeah, you're entering into his territory, especially if you can tell from the tentativeness of their own personal apology that, like, they're not ready to go to bat for this. They just want the controversy to be over, and they're just like, oh no, oops, everybody's mad at us, etc. If they really wanted to, like, go to bat against what they said and be like, our reputations be damned, we will take down Andrew Schultz or whatever, like, that's not what they are looking to do.
Yeah, and it's just also, like, they don't really need Andrew Schultz. Like,
no.
It's like, you could tell they respected him and they liked it and they just didn't think anything of it, which has gone to a larger criticism of them of, like, there's been multiple instances of them disrespecting and saying shitty things about black women. And this is just one of those things. And it's also, like, they're not comedians. They're just, like, podcasters. Mm-hmm. Derogatory.
Yeah.
So it is also, like, they don't have, like, the chops to be going back and forth. And, like, they probably like that about Andrew, you know?
Yeah.
So then to go back and forth and being like, this wasn't really what we thought was going to happen. It's like, we don't believe you and you suck. There's this quick video from these two British black women who made a comment on it that I thought was really interesting. And just to give voice, and this is from the Season BF podcast.
I think we've done things where we've done interviews and someone says something that we may personally not agree with. And you can just be like, oh, they were laughing. Belly laughs. They thought that was funny.
And you know what is actually quite funny? Was it last week? The week before? We made a statement. Men are afraid of other men. This is it. A man saying that black women are violent.
A white man.
You two are black men. And a white man... And also, Andrew wasn't alone. There was another guy there. In the clips you're seeing, don't show him.
He did well to laugh loud.
But
to
as
get
you
the
said, exactly, because the other guy is Indian, Asian, something. So, like, but so you're not, like, surrounded by white people that you feel so uncomfortable. Mm. But a white man sits down and laughs at you and says that the women from your race are violent creatures. And you laugh, and then you have the nerve to come to us and apologize and say that it triggered your fight or flight. as if we didn't watch it in 4K. You don't make it seem like you had the KKK standing around you. Mm. Don't make it seem like if I didn't laugh, I was going to be hurt, I was going to be harmed. You cackled because that's what you believe. And then you did your apology. But because nobody believed your bullshit apology, now all your mess is out here. And you know what it reminded me of? When Chris Rock, Ricky Gervais, and that ginger guy, and Jerry Seinfeld, or whatever his name is, those ones, and they were all saying nigger together, and Chris Rock was laughing, like the word I can't say and not get arrested these days. That's what it reminded me of. And I'm telling you right now, Chris Rock did not believe it was going to affect his fight or flight, because the audience that would watch that would not give a shit. And Shits and Gigs knew that the audience that they were going to do all this stuff to, and that's also why they've been getting away with all the stuff that they've been saying for years, because now all your videos are out, that they wouldn't give a fuck. Because your audience isn't and wasn't primarily Black women until you guys started to go super viral on the internet, super viral on TikTok. I don't think you had Black women like that. It was just men, and men supporting men do bullshit things. And you thought you could laugh at that and get away with it. And now look.
Yeah.
Your ass has been shown.
I have two things.
Yeah.
Number one, the redheaded guy they're talking about in the clip is Louis C.K.
Oh.
And number two, not to, you know, I grew up in a Seinfeld house. Can't say I support everything he does and says now, but I will say in that clip, Jerry Seinfeld does refuse to say the N-word, and he says, I don't think it's funny. Mm. And it's actually very awkward because Chris Rock is laughing and everyone else is laughing, and they're like, why won't you say it, Jerry? And he's like, I don't see any humor in that. And it's a very interesting clip.
A noble pedophile.
Where the only... I can't say everything he's done is right, but I will say...
He's like, I draw the line there. Yeah.
He's like, I will date a 17-year-old girl that I met in Central Park when I'm a 30-year-old man, but I won't. 38-year-old man.
He's hooked on phonics, but not all phonics.
Yeah, exactly. Any final thoughts about this situation? Danny says the N-word.
Yeah.
My last name's actually Schultz, and I just have things to tell my family about. No, I mean, I feel like those girls really did sum it up, and I think it's really, I mean, because I'm not that well versed in those guys, but I think it's so interesting that they probably, because like I like got such a broader audience from social and everything like that, so maybe they tried to do like a pivot of their content, but the true fans maybe weren't. Like the original fans were like, no, that's how they talk. But all the other fans are like, what are you guys doing? So they're in like a divide right now. So I think that's really an interesting point that they touched on.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, when you have a bigger audience, you're more responsible to that. And I'm just thinking now, like Chapel Roan right now.
My head just went there too. Yes.
My head went there where she's like, I'm not endorsing any president, blah, blah, blah. Like, stuff about Gaza are like both sides are wrong, and then people.
Yeah, she said there's problems on both sides. She didn't actually say Gaza, but one assumes that's what she means.
Because she said, and she said that she wasn't going to go. She got invited to the White House, but wasn't going to go because of Gaza and all this stuff. But it's like, yeah, but it's the same thing of like, yeah, when you're like an indie creator with 60,000. Listeners or whatever, you could do that, but like this is like unfortunately a responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, if you want to have like the 8 million followers on TikTok, you do have responsibility to be more careful with your words and like,
or choose to say your like say what you want to say and then let the cards fall as they fall.
Because
Andrew Schultz doesn't care that he doesn't have Black women fans.
No, well, Andrew Schultz doesn't care at all. But it to the Chapel Roan of it all, it is kind of a wild statement for her to make. And obviously Chapel Roan is free to vote her conscience and do whatever she wants. But to be this, you know, to be like, I'm in the tradition of drag, and there's one side of this that literally wants to ban drag. Yeah, okay. It's weird to be like, both sides have their problems.
Not me now being her Seinfeld. I know the rest of her quote.
Okay.
She said, you should really look at it. I didn't like the first half of the quote, so that's why. So you should vote where your heart is. And I feel like if you're a human, like you should know where your heart is. And her main issue, she said, she's voting for trans rights, which everyone is assuming. Let me jump over that, but I'm kind of like, I don't like her, like, but then of course the first half is what was all said. And I'm kind of like, cause I was under the assumption before I saw that she was talking about Gaza, because I know she was so, or like one of the only, when I was like, oh my God, this girl's like having a summer and she's the only like pop star really like saying remotely anything about it. So I was kind of just like, okay, if you got there at like the back end, but like it took you an entire paragraph of the conversation to do it.
But it's like, this is your responsibility now. Yeah. This is what you have to be careful and conscious of. You know,
and also fan base, she's so confident to like curse off the paparazzi. Why is she not so confident to like piss off everyone else? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. Well, yeah. So basically at the end of her quote, if she's saying I'm going to vote for trans rights, then it's like she kind of in a circular way did say that she's going to vote for Kamala, I guess, unless she's like, I'm only voting.
But that's also the hard thing where you're like,
blank. But it's like, it again, Chapel's going through it, as we all know. Figuring out where her level of fame is. My personal advice to Chapel, if she's one of our listeners, is don't answer the who are you voting for question unless you are prepared for a concise response that is not easily misinterpreted or clipped in a negative way for you.
It's just this conversation about, like, when you have a bigger platform, what is your responsibility and what are you going to do, you know, what are you going to do with it? So,
well, speaking of someone with an enormous platform.
Ooh. Yes.
Speaking of someone.
That was the discourse. Discourse over.
Now we are moving. We're moving to a segment that was meant to be one of our most wholesome segments. Oh. But Danny, to be honest, it's tough for us.
It's gotten hot.
It's tough for us to bring this one back. This is our segment, Dispatch from the Animal Kingdom.
And tell the people why it's hard for us to do this.
So, you know, this was our segment. Millie and I conceived of this segment when we first pitched the podcast. We said it'll be a great place for us to talk about viral animals. Mm-hmm. It'll be a wholesome place. Who doesn't love to talk about viral animals? Mm-hmm. We had, over the summer, we banked some episodes. We had Vinny Thomas come on, and we did a whole Dispatch from the Animal Kingdom episode about a whale named Valdemir. Mere weeks after.
Russian spy whale.
He was a Russian spy whale. He did work for Putin's government at some point, but as far as we knew, he was off. That was his past. Yeah. Okay. And his future was trying to join this other pod. Yeah. That's where we left him. Mere weeks after that episode was released, Valdemir was found dead under mysterious circumstances, having been shot. Now Norwegian authorities are like, actually, he wasn't shot. And it's like,
okay, so now we're covering up. What's the
truth? Exactly. Now it's a cover up.
Someone commented in our post about it, was like, actually, the Norwegian government decided there was no foul play. And it's like, how do bullet holes end up in a whale's body without foul play?
Why is he dead?
Why isn't
Valdemir with us then? What is the reason?
So Elise was like, Millie, I don't know if we could do this segment anymore because this is the second time. Also, Alice the fish.
That's true. Alice passed away.
Oh, God. So she's like, you know, are we bringing harm and cursing?
And like, there's candles lit. Like, are you accidentally manifesting the death of these animals?
But I say, no, we are doing important work.
Yeah.
And we can't stop.
No.
We can't stop. We have to keep going. We have a noble mission.
And at the end of the day, Alice the fish was sick.
Alice the fish was sick.
From the get. And
who told you, though? Norway?
No. The fish was British.
And she was found kind of out of the water in a front yard. So things weren't looking good for Alice from the beginning.
Her life was extended.
And as we know, Valdemir, he was in, never blame the victim, but he was involved in some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
John Wick, you know, the life of a spy only goes so far.
It's tough. You can't be getting involved with Putin and then trying to swim away. You know, he doesn't let people go like that. That's not how he is. So with the caveat that we only want the best for this creature, we do have to talk about Mudang, the pygmy hippo.
Okay, here we go.
The beloved viral pygmy hippo, Mudang. She's taken over the internet. Fun fact, Mudang means bouncy pork.
Oh.
Which is incredibly cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her name was chosen by fans on social media. So there are a couple different options. They went with Mudang.
It's like the VMAs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, you know, when Washington, D.C., when we got our baby panda, the residents of D.C. voted to name the panda as well. So this is something
that... What do they call it?
Tyshawn.
Tyshawn?
Mm-hmm. It's spelled T-A-I-S-H-A-N.
Interesting.
But Yes, his name was Tyshawn.
I mean, very, very 2020 core with the exotic name. Kaylee.
Yes. Yeah, so this is something Zoos will do. I think they hit it out of the park with Bouncy Pork for this creature. So just some stats. A pygmy hippo is basically a smaller version of a regular hippo. Mm-hmm. It's half as tall as the common hippopotamus. Mm-hmm. And it weighs a fourth of what a regular hippo weighs.
Very cutesy, very similar.
Very similar, exactly. There are only 2,000 pygmy hippos remaining in the wild.
Oh my gosh.
So Mudang's popularity, other creatures have had conservation efforts, speaking of pandas, based off of their cuteness and virality, it can actually translate into help for their species. So Mudang is doing the work.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She lives at the Khao Kiao Open Zoo in Thailand, which is a 2-hour drive from Bangkok. If anyone has any travel plans coming up, you can get there in 2 hours. She started going viral after her handler posted videos of her online. She's best known for screaming, biting her handlers, being very wet. She's always so slippery. And having very cute pink cheeks.
Okay.
These are some of the images that are most famous of her going viral. Oh my God, yes. There's one of her handler picking her up while she's screaming that is very important. There's one of her screaming while she's being hosed down with water.
Like, truly not in terms of, looks or anything, but why do I feel she's dealing with fame the same way Chaperone is?
Wow.
Just screaming, into the void. Like,
wow. She and Chapel both had such a meteoric rise.
And don't know what.
And it's like.
They do love blush, both of them.
That's very true.
Wait, and the Good Luck Babe album cover, she has
the little pig nose.
A pig nose, so it could be hippocore.
It could be pig meat.
Bouncy pork.
Pig meat, yeah. Bouncy
pork. I'm really seeing this for both of them.
The rise and fall of the princesses.
Because it's again, Chapel Run, her talent was so much that she's been skyrocketed to fame. Yeah.
And they both need security.
Yeah, deeply. And Mudang just has it, Yeah. And she couldn't be contained. So a video of her eating grass also went viral because it was revealed that she's actually not old enough to eat grass and she's just mimicking her mom.
Oh, wow. Honestly, podcast promo.
But, I was going to say, she's a listener.
She's a listener.
Yeah, she's touching grass just for the love of the game. She can't even eat the grass. Yeah. But dark side, as you alluded to, it has been reported that some visitors to the zoo are throwing water and other objects at her to get her to react.
Wow.
And the zoo's director has now threatened to take legal action against misbehaving visitors. Wow. Due to overcrowding, interactions with Mudang will now be limited to weekends, with each viewing lasting only 5 minutes. So it's like the Mona Lisa. Get up and then you gotta get out. Yeah.
Such an underwhelming moment. Too.
Is it that they let her out for 5 minutes at a time, or each group can only
can only look at Mudang for 5 minutes?
Wow.
And group sizes are capped between 30 and 50 people to better manage the crowds.
Wow.
There is also a 24/7 Mudang live stream. Fabulous. And she has dramatically increased visitation to the zoo from 3,000 to 10,000 a day.
Wow.
So she's really that girl.
Oh, my God.
But I will say, if you're throwing things at a viral baby hippo in order to get it to do something social media worthy, you must touch grass.
You need to go touch grass.
I'd actually argue you should have something. You should have the objects thrown at you.
Yeah. Mudang should be allowed to bite you.
Yeah.
Do that.
I mean, I'm sure that they would
want her. I know. I kind of would let Mudang bite me.
Yeah.
She only has two big hippo teeth. I feel like, and
hippos
they're flat.
Are violent.
I was going to say, I don't know if I want that part from her. She could scream in my face.
Yeah. I do wonder, because big regular hippos, they're scary. They'll kill you. I don't know if the pygmy hippo has the same temperament. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like Mudang's mom is always there and around, and her mom doesn't seem to have a problem with the handlers, but also they're known to her. I don't know.
Okay.
I love
that they're like Judy and Liza.
Yes.
Wow.
But speaking of telling people to go touch grass, we've now come to our final segment.
Wow.
That's enough for Mudang. No one harm her.
Leave Mudang alone.
Leave Mudang alone.
Don't ask who she's voting for yet.
Don't ask. Let Chapel figure her stuff out. Let Mudang figure stuff out. They don't owe you, behaviors, viral behavior. But speaking of people who need to go touch grass, Danny, we've come to our final segment of the show. Our final segment every week is Grasshole of the Week. This is our segment where we declare the person or people who need to go touch grass the most. Okay. I'm very excited for this week's Grasshole because it's a classic. I would say classic, pure Grasshole behavior.
I know. We need like a chart.
And
we need to like take time to create a chart.
Different types of grassholes. This is one of my favorite types, which is person posting from their business account things that they should not be posting from their business account. Someone going off on the business page.
Yeah.
I love these are one of my favorite
types. They're satisfying because corporations aren't people.
Yeah.
But they do take the mistakes of people.
Yeah. And people do run their social media. So this all starts with a video from at Renee McClintock, a.k.a. Renee Raising Toddlers, reviewing the locked permanent bracelet with the headline 10 out of 10, don't recommend. What is a locked permanent bracelet, you ask? It is a bracelet that you get with your partner that cannot be removed ever unless by a professional. My first question to either of you is, would you want an unremovable love bracelet?
The Cartier one, yes, because that's also you can sell it. Love fades, but the money doesn't.
Okay. I've seen like friendship bracelets that you can get soldered on like the same way. There is some kind of trend of
permanent jewelry. Permanent.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't want it?
No. I hate having things on me, though.
No, yeah, I would get worried. I get worried. Even if it said, like, oh, it's made of whatever, stainless steel, it's going to be fine. One time when I was really little, I left a ring on for a long time, and it turned the, like, base of my finger green.
Yeah, well, that means it was just a cheap ring.
It was visceral. I left it on for too long. I couldn't get it off. It was like a very visceral reaction. And so even though I know that's because it was... I was like 6 years old, so that's... yes, it was a cheap ring. It was a child's ring.
Yeah.
But I don't like having things on
that you can't take off.
Yeah,
I would say it's kind of like the location tracker, find my friends. Yeah. Jewelry.
I mean, I'm obsessed with that, though. So I think
you are?
Yeah.
Wow.
You let yourself be tracked?
Well, I'm like the mom of the group, so I make sure all the kids get home.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like my stories.
But do you like people knowing where you are at all times?
Yeah, because if someone asks, I'm like, this is what I'm doing. Mm. And also, I don't do that much.
I'm
going to yoga and going to the mall and going home. I live in Hoboken, girl. It's not
the mall, Jersey.
Yes. Oh my God.
Okay. So let's watch this video from Renee. We'll see what she had to say, and then we'll get into the drama as it unfolded.
I hate to make this video, but this is not going to be a good review. And I waited for so long to see if the company would rectify it, and they pretty much refused to and are ignoring me. So let's do a review on this locked permanent bracelet set, because I feel like this is a pretty kind of pricey and permanent thing. And if you're receiving it, I think you should know about the company. So let's talk about it. I'm a TikTok shop affiliate, and I requested this locked permanent bracelet as a sample. I thought it was really, really cool. My husband and I's anniversary was coming up, and so I immediately thought, okay, great. This would make the perfect anniversary thing for us to do together. The product seems super cool, and so I requested it, and they approved it. Shipping was pretty quick. It came in, and my husband and I sat down to do it, and pretty quickly we realized that one of the clasps wasn't working appropriately. This tiny little clasp right here is supposed to have a hole in it so that you can push it in and lock it in, but the clasp doesn't have a hole for the other end to lock into. My husband's went on perfectly, and mine didn't because the clasp was broken. So my husband has his bracelet on, and this is mine right here because I can't clasp it onto my wrist. I reached out to the company on August 8th, and I just told them that we were having issues with the clasp and asked if they could just send a replacement clasp, which is just this tiny little piece of metal right here. They responded 2 days later with a link for me to purchase a new clasp for $10. And I didn't like this response because... I watched a video with the person who was promoting this from the company, and they said that if you have any issues or it has to be removed for medical reasons, that they'll replace the bracelet. So I assume their customer service was going to be top notch, but the fact that the clasp was defective, I assumed they would be sending me a clasp for free. This is a $60 product. So I understand I received it for free, but I'm also giving them free promotion to talk about their products and get the word out. And so I feel like they should want to rectify the situation so that I talk about their good customer service. This video could have gone one of two ways. I could have talked about how fantastic the response and the customer service was, but unfortunately, that's not the case. So they sent me the link to buy the clasp. I responded and asked them, like, are you expecting me to pay for this clasp? And I sent them pictures of the clasp to show them that there was no hole for the other end to go through. And their response was, okay, we marked it complete. You don't have to make a video.
Okay, so the TLDR of the situation, she was doing a collab with this company. They get the bracelet. Her husband puts on the locked permanent bracelet. Her locked permanent bracelet's clasp is broken. She tries to get the replacement clasp. They want her to pay for the replacement clasp. She's like, that sucks. I shouldn't have to pay for the replacement clasp. They basically tell her, actually, we don't want the collab, and ghost her. That's the TLDR.
After her husband has the...
After he has the permanent bracelet on.
He probably doesn't want it. Yeah.
Yeah. So now he has the permanent bracelet on. She doesn't have the permanent bracelet on. Talk. So, okay. She posts this video.
Oh, God.
Guess who gets in the comments?
Locked.
Locked permanent bracelet. So I was going to hand this off to... you guys. Danny, would you like to play locked permanent bracelet? And Millie, would you like to play Renee raising toddlers?
Mm-hmm. This is not what happened. You emailed us saying you didn't want to post the collab video due to the faulty clasp and your missed anniversary, so we canceled the collab with you. Heh, emoji.
This is absolutely not what happened. I'll do a video reply, though.
You were not a paying customer. You requested a free, all caps locks, product from us, and we canceled the collab.
I don't think you understand how affiliate marketing works. You asked for a review. Here it is.
We didn't ask for one from you. You requested the sample to begin with, and we canceled the collab.
When you accept a collab request, you're agreeing to receive a review. You know that. I know that. I asked for a free product. In exchange, you needed a review. That's how it works.
Again, which is why we canceled it. Ooh, two comments in a row. We send out hundreds of clasps to customers all the time. We actually have great customer service, which is annoying when somebody who isn't even a customer tries to complain.
Okay.
Ooh. So, that's actually a small snippet of this comment thread.
That's a small snippet.
That was a small snippet.
They both had time.
Locked comments seven more times that thread. The going back and forth with people. Amazing. Then Renee, as she said she would, did a video reply. Locked comments on that video. They say, we would have replaced it if you weren't such a Karen. Okay. Laughing emoji.
Got her.
So.
Got her ass.
Amazing toddlers.
Now, because of this, like, other people are fighting with Locked in the comments. That comment thread that starts with Locked saying this isn't what happened had 2,000 replies. Like, Jesus. People are going crazy. So, then... another company gets in the comments. This is a product called Fabulove, another permanent
Love
bracelet company.
Christ.
Another $60 permanent bracelet company gets in the comments and they say, Locked CEO review bombed us and went on our website and left a bunch of one-star reviews, which is grasshole behavior.
Yeah,
in and of itself.
Without a doubt.
Then another creator at Jenna Media Co. comes out to say that Locked owes her $700.
What?
Because they collabed on a video series with her and they only paid her for half the videos. And they also told her she'd get a 20% commission on anything from the TikTok shop. And when she was like, hey, where's my commission? The guy she talked to from the company, someone named Luke, basically like, this was the tone that he like belittled her and was like, your videos sucked. So we're not blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's not the deal,
yeah,
though.
No.
Like, that's not how this type of stuff works. But at this point, you would think the company would stand down. But of course.
In true grasshole behavior.
Not only do they not stand down,
But Brooks, a.k.a. at Dolphin Dot, a.k.a. the owner of Locked Bracelets, gets into the fray. That is this next video.
Okay.
I called this girl a Karen from our company TikTok account, and now everybody's freaking out. I'm going to try to go over everything as quick as possible, but it's pretty ridiculous. So Karen made her review of our company bashing us because she didn't like our customer service and the fact that we canceled her free collaboration and we wouldn't send her more free shit. We go back and forth with her a little bit in the comments. She makes another video, and that is the video where we just say, you know, if you weren't such a Karen, we would have just sent you it. I do want to clarify, we're not calling her a Karen because she asked for a replacement. We're calling her a Karen because she ran a TikTok to make a hit piece on us. The next hit piece has to do with a company called Fabulove, who reached out to Karen to let her know that we had made a one-star review from our company account on their TikTok shop. And you're damn right we did. They stole our product and copied our videos almost word for word. This video was made on 9/1. Compare it to these two videos that we made 3 months ago. And if you have any doubts on who brought this product to market first, we posted this product in 2022. Why don't you go look at Fabulove's accounts and see when they first started posting permanent bracelets, because it was a couple months ago. They saw that we were scaling this and having success, and they completely ripped it off, and they're trying to brand it as their own now. The last hit piece has to do with a creator that says we didn't pay her the money that we owed her. And I gotta say, we fucked up on this one. I wasn't dealing with her personally. This was months ago with somebody else on her team, but I did go back and actually look at the emails, and we gotta pay her. So if we haven't already, we'll reach out to you, Jenna. I'm sorry, I take full responsibility for that. I actually was unaware of the situation, but we will get it resolved. We're gonna pay a little extra because it was months ago. That's enough yapping for one day. I'm going to the beach. I'm sure there'll be plenty of Karens in the comments. I love you all. Bye.
Okay. Reactions to Dolphin Dot.
Like, the biggest thing is, like, these bracelets are ugly too.
Yeah, they are ugly.
Yeah.
Because I think, what is it, Catbird has bracelets?
And they're cute.
They're and cute and really dainty and small. Yeah. These look like bike chains.
Yes. Yeah.
They don't go with everything. That's the thing, is I can't have a permanent bracelet, and then what if I'm going, there's silver, I want to wear gold. Like,
it's just going to the beach to go in the ocean. Great.
I didn't see his bracelet.
Yeah.
He looks like he's 22.
Yeah.
Don't have that. Nobody permanent he wants to be with. Where's your bracelet, sir?
Who was?
And also, I don't like the flipping Karen using.
That's what I want to get in. That was my big thing, is I was like, we need to get on the same page about what a Karen is, because just a woman complaining is not a Karen.
Also, like, complaining about work that they were going to do together, too. Well, that's what I don't understand.
So just because a woman has a legitimate complaint about something doesn't make her a Karen. A Karen is someone who is specifically, like, leveraging the power of, like, older white womanness to get something that is not owed to her, or to put someone else down.
An unreasonable request.
Yeah, is to try to, like, leverage that power for an unreasonable request.
Like, if she went with a bracelet from a different company to yell at them saying, this bracelet's broken and I want money back, they're like, that would be more Karen.
That would be Karen.
This is just Renee.
Or if she broke it and then was like, you should give it back, but...
And so it's, like, Karen and then hit piece. And it's like, if somebody's sharing their honest, like, experience, that's not a hit piece. That's their honest experience.
Yeah.
They're like, she was like, I asked for this. They didn't, whatever. I don't fucking recommend them. That's her right. It's not a hit piece. And that's not, doesn't make someone a Karen. And I just feel like the two stories that we've shared with the other, it's like, the hate of women in general.
I know.
Like, black women are too whatever. White women are too whatever. It's like, guys.
Yeah.
Like, you just hate women complaining.
Yeah, exactly. It is the thing where it's like, you know, the crux of the issue with these other guys is that, like, a black woman would want her boyfriend to have a haircut.
Yeah.
And for him to look nice.
To shower.
Yeah. And this woman wants the product that her husband already has permanently on to work.
That she was partnering with.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is he's like, you put out a hit piece. It's like, no, the point of all of this was that she was going to make a video review. Yeah.
And that's also the same. They're making all these women content creators, female content creators, in a fashion space. Then, like, this guy just comes in and is trying to, like, demean them and make them feel stupid for doing their job in their avenue.
Yes.
Yeah, because basically how affiliate marketing works is that a product will be like, hey, I'll give to a TikTok. And you could only do that if you're over, like, 10 or 20,000 followers. So it's like, hey, if you post, we'll give you this shit for free. You have to post a video about it. And then anyone who uses your link, you'll get a percentage of it.
Yeah.
That's how that works. So They're like, you asked us. It's like, yeah, but you accepted it. So you have to follow through. Mm-hmm. If you want a video, if you want me to do a video about it, if you don't want to follow through, I'm going to say what I have to say. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it seems like, okay, so they also, they did pay Jenna Media Co. They paid her plus $250. But the way they treated her before, it seems like they just reach out to these female, like, UGC content creators. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then treat them like shit and talk down to them and call them Karen and ghost them when they ask for their money or be like, your video wasn't actually good. And the only way that you can get a response from them, like the only reason they did right by this one person is because of all of this controversy. But this man is being dragged. This video has a ratio of 1,150 likes to 1,491 comments. So that's not good. Love. If you're one-to-one likes and comments, that is not a good ratio.
I feel like any apology thing or any kind of thing that says, I'm going to the beach, bye, like...
And, oh, and I'm sure there will be more Karens in the comments, so he's already dismissing. And I love you all.
Oh, yeah. And also, like, I'm sorry.
This is...
I'm gonna say this, right? This is the same thing as, like, he's like, Fabulove copied our idea. This is the same thing I say about when comedians say, like, oh, they stole my idea, and what's the idea about dating apps? Like, it's like, you're not the first person to ever think about this. The whole point is, like, you have to make the better product. If you make the better product, have the better customer service, people will fall, like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, even when I went to look it up to, like, see the price of the locked bracelet, which is, like, $60, tons of other locked bracelet companies came up. Like,
permanent jewelry is just, it's an own entity.
Yeah, it's a thing. So again, like, Catbird has a nice one. Like, it's just not a proprietary thing in the way he's acting. And you look... So they made an official one-star review from their business account, which is also crazy.
They're like, damn right we did. You're an idiot.
Yeah, so for all of these reasons, we have to say, locked permanent bracelets. Go touch grass. And that's our episode.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Danny, you were such an amazing guest.
You're the best.
This was so much fun. I'm going to go eat grass outside for y'all and also for our hippo queen.
For Mudang, who
can't right now, but yes.
Who can't do it right now, but we do it for her and we want her protected. If Mudang or anyone else wants to follow you, Danny Murphy online, where can they find you, listen to your podcast, all the good stuff?
Oh, my God. Well, you could follow me across everything at CashmoDanny, Cashm with a K, and then also Page 6 Virtual Reality. Episodes out Thursday and sporadically more throughout the week on YouTube, all the podcast platforms, bunch of housewives, bunch of insanity. It's a good time.
Yeah. Amazing. Lisa Barlow.
Lisa Barlow.
She sang Fourth Night for us, which is her rendition of Taylor Swift's Fourth Night.
Wow.
She didn't know the lyrics, but she got
that. I was like, does Fourth Night mean something? Okay. No, I love
it. It does now.
It does. And now.
It does now.
But I love Fortnite Lisa Barlow's version.
Okay.
Guys, you can follow this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. You can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram or at Elise Navidad on TikTok.
You can follow me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and TikTok and at Millie Tamaris on Twitter.
And until next time, go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.